Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Our subject is preaching, devotional or doctrinal. Well, the first thing we must do is to define our terms, presenting the correct definitions, and also negating erroneous but popular definitions that people hold regarding preaching. Preaching refers to the public proclamation of the gospel. And it should be obvious that preaching, like teaching, should include doctrine, which simply means a teaching. Doctrinal preaching informs, it instructs, it makes an appeal to the mind and to the intellect of man. It is designed to create understanding so that he might make correct decisions regarding the information presented. Devotional is meant to include that part of preaching that persuades, that appeals to the heart, that motivates one to action and urging the making of a commitment. I do not know from whence came the idea that preaching would ever be exclusively doctrinal or exclusively devotional, because most sermons include deliberate use of both qualities. It is said that some have confused devotional preaching with simply making people feel good and leaving out doctrine that might disturb or even convict. When one preaches, he should have in mind the proclamation of the word, preach the word, as Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2. And whether preaching is considered doctrinal or devotional will depend upon attitudes and goals. Devotion refers to that which is devoted and dedicated and consecrated, usually pious and sincere, emphasizing compelling motives. It is designed to appeal to man to obey God. Doctrine is the teaching of Christ, that body of truth which God expects men to believe and to obey. It is a mistake to think that a sermon should either exclude either quality, or make the sermon one way to the exclusion of another. The correct manner and message of a gospel sermon will be both doctrinal and devotional. Now, this matter arises because some present the truth in a cold, harsh, insensitive manner, while others omit doctrine and simply try to make people feel good or be aroused and be stirred. Who would want preaching that does not teach and instruct? Who wants preaching that is not devoted and dedicated and leads to commitment? One may have that which stirs the emotions, and it's sad stories and scare tactics and such as that, but never come to a knowledge of the truth. And friend, one can know a lot of truth, but never be moved to act upon it. The sad fact of the matter is that some do not want sound doctrine, even as Paul warned, and prefer to be entertained and emotionally lifted, while others may wish to know facts, but have no heart to comply. We must want preaching that saves, 1 Corinthians 1:21. And the distinction often made between doctrinal preaching and devotional preaching, it's rather arbitrary, and it's not of biblical origin, but a humanly devised separation of qualities that should be combined in proper balance when the gospel is presented. Well, we hear people talking about balanced preaching, and it soon becomes very clear that many do not know of what they speak. For preaching to be balanced, it must include the whole counsel of God, with effective manner and substantive theme. Let us now consider some areas where preaching must be balanced. Some preaching must be directed to those not yet Christians, and other preaching to those who are Christians. The Scriptures instruct how to become a Christian and why, but it also instructs how one is to be what he has become. Sermons should deal with meeting the immediate needs of life, but also the eternal needs of man. You see, man needs God's guidance in this world. It's not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, and the end thereof the ways of death. Only by the word of God can we know the way to heaven. There must be motivating instruction regarding our relationship with God, as well as our daily relationships with other people. Matthew chapter 25 stresses we have a duty to God, but we also have an obligation toward others. The gospel includes the Lord's promises, but it also includes the Lord's warnings. Peter tells us God keeps his promises, but he's equally sure about his warnings. There is that positive side of the gospel. There is also the negative side of it. There are the thou shalt commands, but there are also thou shalt not commands. There is the quality of God that is kind and gentle and patient and long-suffering. But also there exist the qualities of wrath and anger and justice and holiness. It is a mistake to preach the one and omit the other. And while some will only tolerate what they call positive preaching, a survey of what God says is to be preached, it shows God demands some things and he prohibits others. The negative is as much his truth as the positive. We should want whatever God has provided. There are blessings to be enjoyed, but there are also curses that will come to the disobedient. And you see, there are those things that God commends. But what of those things that he condemns? Shall we not present both to our hearers? When the Lord sent the epistles to the seven churches of Asia, they included both commendations and condemnations. That brings things into balance. Paul's epistles contained both. We hear some of the so-called wise men of our day talk about what should be preached, and you get the idea that God would have done a better job if he could have had them along as his advisors and counselors. After all, they've been to the seminary. They have their theological degrees from some divinity schools, and they promote their human wisdom. And friend, if you think this is sarcasm and ridicule, you have rightly understood my words, because those kind of people do not lead people in the paths of righteousness. Preaching should present the facts, but also encourage man to comply with the facts by moving him to obedience, by considering the consequences of his choices, and to recognize his personal responsibility to God. This means a sermon will include doctrinal substance and devotional substance in varying proportions. God wants preaching that's true to the Word, 1 Peter 4:11. Preaching must exalt Christ. There must be the proclamation of the system of salvation. Preaching should answer the question, what must I do to be saved? How could one claim to preach the gospel, God's power unto salvation, and exclude grace and mercy and love and the blood of Christ, works of obedience, faith and law, all the components of God's plan for saving man, and in their proper sequence, in their proper balance, and in their proper relationships? Preaching must distinguish between righteousness and unrighteousness, between right and wrong. God doesn't treat right and wrong just alike. Preaching that God wants exalts the church. It tells of its identifying marks. Now, while some today deny that one can identify the church, the divinely given marks of identification are still there in the Scriptures. There are the prophecies regarding it, its establishment, when and where and how and by whom. There's the manner of worship, the government of the church, the terms of entrance, the name to be worn, and all other such matters that mark the church from all other religious institutions. And preaching should comfort the troubled, but at times troubled those who are comfortable in their sins. Preaching that convicts the sinner and strengthens the saved and recovers the fallen. Preaching does not create guilt. It recognizes guilt, and it provides the cure for guilt. These are the goals of gospel meetings and all other sermons. This is what adherence to the revealed Word of God will accomplish in the lives of people. Did not Paul urge Timothy to reprove, rebuke, and exhort, 2 Timothy 4:2? Should we not persuade, as did Paul, 2 Corinthians 5:11? Preaching that God wants keeps the church pure in life and in doctrine, so that it will be his glorious church. Mankind must learn there is blessedness in Christ, and how to get into Christ, and how to live faithfully in Christ. Learning to live according to the Lord, in the Lord, for the Lord, even to die in the Lord, that's what God wants man to know, Revelation 14:13. Preaching teaches, and it lovingly persuades all to come to Christ and to be Christians, walking worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, Ephesians 4 and verse 1. The only way to have balanced preaching is to know the Word, and that comes through study and study and study and then more study. Sermons are not psychiatrical sessions to make people feel good. They're not the pseudo-counseling that is sometimes confused with preaching. In no place is a preacher called a marriage counselor, even though he may teach what the will of God is regarding marriage and its challenges. There is no place to pacify man in his sins and to make him feel good by accommodating him in his rebellion against God's truth. It is not unfair to charge that too many discourses provide this sort of sordid result, and therefore people continue in their sins. Preaching should not be deceptive to just simply slip up on people by leading them to accept something because they've been charged up emotionally and temporarily. Our worship is not a holy wow. We're expected to be reverent before God, but not with a pretended piety. Sermons are not pep talks, and worship is not a pep rally. Preachers are not cheerleaders. Often what is called devotional, it consists of sad tales, provoking emotions, down by the lake at night, holding hands, lights out, arousing people to some kind of high for the moment, and then calling it spiritual. Preaching that is designed to simply entertain or present a comedy routine, to draw attention to the speaker, or just arouse emotions, that's not the kind of preaching you find in the Scriptures. We might add that sessions that concentrate on bashing the church and belittling the Bible, which has become a trademark of many of these so-called devotional preachers, that's not biblical preaching. What is more moving and thrilling than the faith of which Jude 3 speaks? What motivates more than a sense of duty and love toward God and the realization of personal responsibility and accountability? If you want devotional preaching, friend, study the lives of the noble souls who gave their all in living and proclaiming doctrinal truth. There you will find devotion. There you'll find your own motivation. What stirs the heart more than to realize one is lost but can be saved? What a marvel! None of this is possible, however, without the doctrinal side of preaching. And if you want doctrinal preaching, then preach the whole counsel of God, as did Paul, Acts 20:27. Teach love and kindness and forgiveness. Tell of God's grace and mercy and the blood of Christ. Preach on faith and repentance, confession and baptism. Tell about the Lord's Supper and the condemnation of sin, the marks of the church, the hope of salvation, fellowship with God, God's part in God's plan for saving man, man's part in God's plan for saving man. I want to ask you, what part of the doctrine or the teaching of Christ are we qualified to declare unnecessary and without value to be preached? In 2 John 9 and verse 11, "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds." Friend, the doctrine of Christ refers to the doctrine of which Christ is the author, that which Christ taught and authorized to be taught in his name. So I suggest to you that to think of preaching as devotional or doctrinal is wrong-headedness. Such is an arbitrary and artificial distinction when you consider preaching as is done in the New Testament under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. It must be both, because the two concepts are inseparable rather than mutually exclusive. How can we please God and have our preaching be other than the way that He has revealed the preaching that He wants? This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.